Hey, Trojan fans, it's time to get into the huddle with the Peristyle Podcast. The Peristyle Podcast is your weekly ticket to USC football and recruiting news. Don't forget, you can download the podcast 24/7 at our website, peristylepodcast.com. And now, here's the host of the Peristyle Podcast, USCFootball.com publisher, Ryan Abraham.
Hello, Trojan fans. Welcome to the Peristyle Podcast on a Thursday. It's our fifth podcast in a row. A lot of podcasts this week following USC's loss to Alabama, but we've moved on. We want to talk about the next game up, the home opener in the Coliseum against the Utah State Aggies. So we're going to do all that today. We have a very special guest, also from the Scout Network, from ustateaggies.com, Isaac Draxler. Follow him on Twitter, at AggieUp. Hopefully I pronounced your last name right, Isaac. Thanks for coming on the show. How you doing, man?
Yeah, good. Hopefully we don't have as many technical difficulties as when I had you on my podcast. that would be good.
We're keeping this one simpler.
So far, so good.
Yeah, we're keeping this one simpler. We're just having just you and me. So I know you guys had a whole bunch of other people on and stuff, and I was coming back from practice. It was just kind of a crazy, crazy time. We've had a bunch of shows this week. A lot of digesting the USC's loss to Alabama, but we like wanted to shift gears, like I said, and talk about the upcoming game with Utah State. I think some USC fans, to be honest, kind of overlooking this game. Certainly as poorly as USC played, there's no game on the schedule you could overlook, and Utah State is a good team. They played USC a couple years ago, 17-14. They beat some good teams. Matt Wells is a coach, and his name comes up for big jobs. This is not going to be some kind of pushover game. So we thought it'd be good to have you on, Isaac, to kind of give us a little breakdown of Utah State. Maybe we can start with, FCS opponent to start, but did you learn anything about this team, beating Weber State last week?
Yeah. I mean, I think this season there were a lot of question marks coming into the season, and there was a lot of optimism as well, because last year was kind of a weird season with a lot of talent on the top end, a couple draft picks and some NFL talent on the team, but it was kind of a weird feel, kind of a weird season. And, coaches left and obviously players graduated and different things. So there were a lot of question marks coming into the season. Some of those question marks are not going to get answered by playing Weber State in week one. They're just not. But I think there were some positive signs, and there were some, reasons to continue to worry, because some of the question marks coming into the season were offensive line, just in general. A new offensive line coach came in. I don't know if you're familiar with Coach Weber, who's now at Weber, and he's bounced around. He was even at USC, I think, for a time, or UCLA, one or the other. So he's been around a long time, coached at BYU in the past and everything, but he had some pretty average results in general on his offensive lines over the years. So I think that question was pretty well answered. I think they've got some offensive linemen. Obviously, Devontae Mays played really well. They just ran all over Weber State and didn't have to throw the ball. So that, the receiver question marks and the linebacker question marks, they weren't answered in that game really, because they didn't necessarily have to be answered, or they, it's hard to tell against Weber State. But against USC, that's going to be one of the things that obviously we'll be watching and analyzing and stressing over is how those wide receivers and how those linebackers can match up against a team like USC.
All right. We have, Isaac Draxler from ustateaggies.com doing a preview. So we're doing a preview of the USC Utah State game this weekend, 11 a.m. on the Pac-12, networks, which I can actually get now. Like, it's funny. I got it. Like, I have an office in my home. Isaac, I don't know if you get the Pac-12 network, but I have Frontier. Verizon, it used to be Verizon Fios, it's Frontier now, and they just added it. I can't get it in the guide yet, but I can actually watch the channels. And then I also have Sling TV in my office, and they just added that today. So it was like, as of like 2 days ago, I couldn't watch Pac-12 networks. Now I can watch it at my home in my office. So kind of
two options.
Yeah, a couple options there. we'll see. I don't know. I mean, I always bag on the Pac-12 Network because I could never watch it. But
yeah, here it's on Comcast. It's on Xfinity. It's on Dish Network, I guess, but not DirecTV. So that's kind of everywhere. DirecTV, you can't get it. So that's the big problem right now, I think.
Yeah, the Sling TV is pretty cool. Like, I just get it in my office because it's like $20 a month or something, or it might be $25 because I get the sports package. But I came in today, turned it on, and like, oh, there's Pac-12 Networks. Now, I don't get the national one. You only get the six regional ones, so that's kind of weird. Like, there's probably going to be something that you won't be able to get, but
I still don't understand how that works. I mean, I've had Pac-12 Network, and I watch it online sometimes because, you know, it's just weird how sometimes on the TV you can only get certain ones, and online you can get all of them or whatever. I really don't get it. I have no clue what they put on where and why. It's the weirdest thing to me, so I don't know.
We'll see. But yeah, so that usually USC fans all hit me with lots of emails when they have to play on the Pac-12 Network because they can't get it. And I put up something on our site that shows like bars and restaurants from across the country that carry it. So you can check that out on uscfootball.com. But before we jump in more, I just wanted to, we have a new sponsor for the Peristyle podcast, mybookie.net. So check it out. I actually got to play this morning. If you heard our show yesterday, I gave you a little preview of it. There's a promo code Trojans you can use. But it's for football season and you can get in the action and bet and it's fun and it's all free. So it's, I signed up today this morning and, put the promo code Trojans in there and you get $500 free of, play money. And I went in and put some bets in. Maybe we'll get Isaac's thoughts of the betting line for this game. Cause I think the USC game was a 16.5 point spread in that game, which seems a little high for me. But I'll talk to you guys about that a little bit later on, but, that's mybookie.net. So I'll give you some more details on that in a little bit. But yeah, Isaac, dude, maybe we'll start with that. 16.5 point spread. USC just got thumped by 46 points. I don't know. That just seemed pretty high to me.
Yeah. If I know anything about spreads, which I'm not a gambler or an expert by any means, but, you know, I don't think there's going to be a lot of Utah State fans that are saying, oh yeah, Utah State can keep it within two touchdowns. So I'm going to go bet on Utah State. Well, it may end up being a 14-point game, but Utah State could lose by 17 or 21, you know, by three touchdowns. So I don't know if that's smart money to put money on Utah State, but like you say, I mean, Utah State's not a bad team. I think this year they're going to be a solid team, and I think USC obviously showed that they have some weaknesses, and maybe we'll get into it, or maybe you'll break the news to me. You know more than I do, but it seems like there's some guys out, some injuries and things going on that may have an effect on the game. So I guess maybe you want to wait until the last second to kind of see how all that works out. So.
No, I mean, USC does have some injuries, like Noah Jefferson's questionable. He was probably the second best defensive lineman behind Utah's Stevie Tuikolovatu, who was a stud in that game for USC. I mean, and you know, Toa Lobendon hasn't practiced this week. He's a starting center. Certainly some, you know, potential issues for USC on the injury front, but just in general, and we talked about this on your podcast, I think USC could go a couple different directions after getting blown out by Alabama. The problem is that I think it's not one of those teams where you play Utah State. If you play really well, you have more talent. You should be able to beat that team, but this is not a bad, I mean, it's a good team, dynamic quarterback. You know, there's definitely some talent that went to the NFL that was replaced from last year. But to me, if I'm a Utah State fan, you're salivating. There's a chance here that USC could be reeling coming off the loss to Alabama and you could make a statement in the Coliseum early kickoff. I mean, I think there's some stuff going Utah State way that USC can't take this lightly. They have to play well or it could be a disastrous result for them.
Yeah, I think. Either early USC is going to come out like crazy and play really well in the beginning or be really fired up. And Utah State's going to have to weather that storm, whether it's a pick or a big time sack or a fumble or a turnover of some sort. I think special teams are going to be huge in the game. So, I mean, I think they do have to play really well in the beginning, or there is a possibility that USC comes out a little flat. And Utah State can jump on USC a little bit in the beginning and maybe even get a lead or, you know, get out to a good start. And obviously that would be huge in the game as well. So I don't know what to expect from USC. And I think that's why I kind of go back and forth, optimistic, not optimistic. Is it going to be a good game? Is it going to be a bad game? If Utah State plays their best game against USC's best game, what would happen? You know, we go back and forth and go through all these scenarios, and none of us know what's going to happen. That's the beauty of it.
Yeah, that's why we love college football. And I think so. And I think we might have talked about this in your podcast too. I think USC, when they win, like they beat Utah pretty badly last year. They beat UCLA pretty bad. It's when they start well. It's just like if their game plan works, then USC can, you know, they can roll along and win. If it doesn't work in the beginning, it's just, we haven't seen the last few years this USC team be able to kind of bounce back and figure something else out. It's like if the initial game plan doesn't work, it's trouble. So to your point, if Utah State comes out and plays well, like they played well the beginning of the game against Alabama, and then it just, everything kind of fell apart. If Utah State comes out and punches them in the mouth and gets a 7-3 lead or something like that, we haven't seen this USC team be able to like bounce back and fight through adversity. So that's another question, especially you got a new coaching staff. So watch that first quarter. I think both teams, there's a wide range where they could play. You're not really sure. It's an 11 a.m. game. But if the Aggies come out and they're playing well and the Trojans aren't, we haven't seen the Trojans be able to bounce back from something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. In my opinion, that's a sign of good coaching. Utah State's had some good assistant coaches in the past with Dave Aranda and Todd Orlando. And those guys, it seemed like they just came out in the second half and they solved whatever was giving them problems in the first half, and they switched it up or they just brought the perfect game plan into the second half. Not always in the first half. Obviously things happen, you know. The other coach is game planning too, so it's a chess match. You got to make those adjustments. So, my big, I guess, problem with with these big games in the past, and especially the game last year, and maybe even a little bit a couple years ago at Tennessee, you know, Utah State came out and they played their game plan and they had a plan, I'm sure, and everything, but they kind of just were pretty conservative. You know, it wasn't like the Boise State game plans of the Fiesta Bowls and that kind of thing where they were throwing out trick plays and caution to the wind, you know, going all out. It was kind of conservative. So I don't know whether to expect that this year or not. And I think that early part of the game will show that as well, I would assume, and kind of see what the game plan is, what'll happen. So.
Yeah, well, we're anxiously awaiting to see what's going to happen in this one. So let's kind of break down the, you know, offense, defense, special teams. We can start with the offense, and it seems like Chucky Keaton was there for a long time, just so much promise, and he was so exciting to watch. Like when I was covering Fresno State, I got to check him out some, and you know USC, they played in the Coliseum a few years back. Came back last year, but wasn't there for the whole season. Maybe you kind of give people, but Myers looked like he's really good, and the offense was probably better when he was in there anyway. But maybe kind of talk about the quarterback situation first.
Yeah, the quarterback situation. I think everybody looks back at Chucky and they want to remember the Auburn Chucky is a brand new true freshman in his first game, you know, and played really well. He had two good wills against USC the last time they played. So that was a pretty memorable game, although USC's defensive line was so solid that year that it was tough to run against that team. So I think everybody's excited to move on because of last year. Like I said, it was a weird year because Chucky got his fifth year, but he didn't come back 100% by any means. And when Kent Myers was in there, and even go back 2 years when Chucky went out, Daryl Gerritsen, who's now at Oregon State, came in and beat BYU, and went on to, you know, have a pretty successful season. So Kent Myers is a little bit, undersized. He's kind of a short, quarterback, maybe a little bit. He's pretty athletic. Quarterback as well. He can make plays in the running game. He'll play some They'll have some draws and they'll have some read option plays in the playbook. What I like about Kent Myers, especially, you know, is that he was thrown into the starting lineup as a true freshman. So what he could do as a true freshman and still today is he can run a little bit, but the most impressive thing is he has a good deep ball. So he could throw the deep ball, and he had Hunter Sharp, who was a good wide receiver, catching those deep passes. As long as he kept it in the field, Hunter Sharp would usually go up and get those. So that's really what was successful last year. With a couple graduations, it'll be interesting to see who that deep threat is this year, or how much they'll try to go to that deep threat, because it's tough to go deep on a guy like Adoree Jackson, who is going to have as much speed or more than anybody. He's going to be able to stay with most receivers. And on the other side, we'll see if they can take advantage of that. But so the quarterback position is solid, though. It's a really good feeling to have Kent Myers and know that he's the starter, and know who that he's. I'm sure for him, it's nice to know he's the guy. He's not halfway between redshirting and playing wide receiver and being behind Chucky and not knowing if he's going to play week to week and that kind of thing. So it'll be a good year for him, I think.
Now, around him, you talked a little bit about trying to replace the deep threat. There was some turnover on the offensive line. There's always been, always seems to be really good running backs coming out of Utah State. Maybe talk about the kind of players around Myers, what he has to work with.
Yeah, the running back situation is comparable to a couple years ago, 2012, I guess, when Robert Turbin was there, Kerwin Williams was there. And Michael Smith. So all three of those guys, Michael Smith got injured and he's not in the NFL anymore, but Kerwin Williams and Robert Turbin are still in the NFL. So they've got kind of the thunder and lightning and the solid, running backs to kind of plug in there and work through. But Devontae Mays is definitely the workhorse, the big guy that can carry the load against, you know, he had 200 plus yards against Weber State and averaged about 19 yards per carry. So he was just unstoppable against Weber State. And if he can continue that, he's just a guy that's a complete freak. I mean, the amount of weight that he can bench press and squat and everything like that is off the charts. It's really impressive. So it's just a matter of putting that into play. But I think the offensive line, if they can do well against USC. Obviously, Devontae Mays, there's a stat. I don't know how much you're into kind of advanced stats or whatever, but there's a stat for everything, obviously. So
yeah.
yards after contact last year, he was number one in the nation. So he's a guy that's not going to go down on first contact. You know, obviously USC is going to have to get multiple guys swarming to the ball to bring him down, because he's a load to bring down. The wide receivers, I mean, it's hard to even, you know, point to a certain guy other than maybe the surprise is Ray Lewis's son, Rashad Lewis. He's a guy, a true freshman out of Florida that has really impressed so far. He only had a couple catches, but they went to him as much, or well, more than any other receiver last game, in the limited throwing, and there was quite a bit of wind in the stadium and that kind of thing. So that contributed to the ground and pound game plan. But they went to him quite a bit, so they're gonna count on that. The true freshman, he's a little bit undersized, probably 5'9", you know, 5'10", and kind of more of a slot receiver. But they'll play him all over. And hope he can make some plays. I think they'll focus more on more than the short passes and screens and obviously the running game than they will the deep passes. But the thing is, if they mix it up, then those opportunities to hit one over the top is going to be there, because you know we saw against Alabama, you know, that secondary made some mistakes and they weren't expecting a couple deep passes when Alabama was able to do it. So,
all right. Well, that's the offensive side of the football. It'll be fun to watch. I thought the USC defense played pretty well despite giving up 52 points. They didn't give up all those points, but it was definitely a more aggressive attacking style of defense. So I'm curious to see what they look like this weekend, against the Aggies. And offensively, on the defensive side of the ball for Utah State, a lot of turnover in the linebacking core, but you mentioned guys like Dave Aranda was an Aggie before. That was someone that USC fans thought they could go after as a defensive coordinator last year. He was at Wisconsin. They got to see him in the bowl game and what he was able to do to the USC offense. Maybe kind of give people a preview of what to expect from Utah State on the defensive side of the ball.
I've followed Clancy Pendergast for quite a while, and I used to live in Phoenix and that kind of thing. So he was with the Arizona Cardinals, and I think just like Pendergast, he really wants to get pressure on the quarterback. I think last year Utah State kind of tried to play a little bit too vanilla on defense. I think they tried to kind of sit back and maybe expected Kyler Fackrell to make plays one-on-one instead of, some different blitzes and different things. So on defense, they're going to play 3-4 at Utah State. I don't see that changing for a long time. But with their linebacker situation, they've got a couple guys that are seniors, that are solid players, and then they've got some young guys that have quite a bit of potential. So it'll be interesting to see how they kind of rotate through those guys. Obviously sometimes they're going to have three linebackers on the field and nickel and different things like that. But in my opinion, that's the weakness of the defense, those middle linebackers. Against Weber State, even they were getting, Weber State was getting some passes completed, through the tight, their tight end and some pretty successful plays over the middle where those linebackers should have been, but they were kind of a step slow. So there are different guys that they can kind of rotate instead of the other guys, but it's kind of a trade-off because some linebackers are better against the run, some are better against the pass, and some are bigger, some are smaller. So it'll some are experienced, some are inexperienced. So it'll definitely be interesting to see how they rotate those guys through. They've got a really experienced secondary, though. They've got experienced guys at cornerback, a guy that, from San Diego, from Southern California, that should probably, be jacked up to play against a team like USC at one of the corners. And then in Jalen Davis. And then Daniel Gray, he's on the other side, kind of rotate with a guy named Wesley Bailey, who's a bigger corner. So Jalen Davis is kind of a smaller corner, so it'll be interesting to see if he matches up with Juju Smith-Schuster, kind of how that works out. And then in the safety position, the Aggies are really experienced with a guy that transferred from BYU named Dallin Levitt. And he had a pick last week. He's a guy that's kind of the leader of the defense. Even sitting out last year, he was always the rah-rah guy, always the guy on the sideline trying to pump people up and in practice just running a million miles an hour and everything. So I think everybody's really excited for Dallin Levitt to actually be able to play and get everybody in the right positions and make some plays in the secondary. So that's about it.
All right. We're talking with Isaac Draxler. He's a publisher of ustateaggies.com, previewing USC versus Utah. And like I thought, I just want to touch on this, our sponsor for the segment. Then we're going to finish up with special teams and kind of our outlook for this game. But mybookie.net, they actually approached me recently, and I hadn't tried them out before. So it's pretty cool. You get these live Vegas odds, so real Vegas odds, and it's a free thing. So I'm not going to be out spending money betting on stuff, but it's kind of cool. You can do it for free with play money. So just go to mybookie.net and sign up. Use the promo code Trojans. You don't put a credit card or anything. You just put your email address and stuff. And, they'll send you an email and you just verify your email address works. And then you get in there. And so they'll give you like $500 of the play money. And I put in like $300 in bets on a few different Pac-12 games. So I'm going to try to follow my progress throughout the season if I can keep my bankroll that long and check it out. But you can go to mybookie.net or call them at 844-722-2387. So they're helping us out here on the Peristyle podcast. Definitely go check it out. You put in the promo code Trojans and you'll be, there's a drawing for, there's about $1 million in prizes and you'll be in that drawing and stuff, but it's free. You don't have to pay anything. Check it out. If you do well, let me know if you win some money. I haven't done any parlays yet. I'm just doing kind of straight bets, but check it out. Mybookie.net. They're nice enough to sponsor us here on the Peristyle podcast. And I'd love to see you, you know, get an account there and check it out.
Yeah, hopefully you last more than a week, right?
More than two weeks. That's why I'm only betting 300 this week.
Well, 2 weeks. Hopefully you make more than 2 weeks.
Yeah, I'm like, I figure we're going to bet three times, and then if I hopefully win two out of three, that'd be good. But I don't know, we'll see. It's tough. I mean, betting against the line, there's a reason why it's hard. That's the reason why Vegas is there. But I love going to Vegas, so it's fun. Isaac, so on the special team side, USC had to replace a punter, had to replace a kicker. Had to replace a holder, actually hit a couple field goals in the game, was pretty good. They had one kickoff out of bounds, couple good punts, couple not so good punts, couple penalties, bad penalties on special teams, a dropped punt from an Australian punter who didn't really know that he shouldn't just fall on the ball. He should try to get up and kick it somewhere that led to an Alabama touchdown. So there's some up and downs with USC special teams. What can we expect to see from the Aggies on the special team side?
So they've got everybody back, other than their long snapper, and their long snapper was really, really a solid, you know, guy that really never made much, made any mistakes.
Yeah. You never want to hear about the long snapper. If you hear about the long snapper, it's usually bad.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You didn't hear about him, which was a great thing last year. One of the bright spots of the year last year, but, the kickers on the other hand, there's two seniors, and one of the guys, Thompson, is more of a kickoff specialist. According to the depth chart, he isn't the long field goal specialist or anything this year. He's just a kickoff specialist. Last year he missed a few long field goals. Brock Warren, who was the kicker last year for the extra points and everything, towards the end of the year, it kind of just fell apart. And it was a combination of probably his mental state and the special teams unit in general. There was, different things happened, obviously, with a blocked kick. It's not always just the kicker's fault, but a few things happened. He missed a few kicks that he should have made, and he missed a game winner against New Mexico that turned out to be huge throughout the later in the season. I think if he would have made that would have turned the season around a little bit, even though the season was going pretty darn well at that point. So that was kind of a bad loss against New Mexico, but anyway, that kind of affected him probably mentally, and he was kind of downhill from there. So it's the same guy, though. They're giving him a chance. He's looked good in practice and so far so good in the first game of the season. So that's one of my keys to the game is if Utah State can play well on special teams. I don't know if you remember the horrible punt a couple of years ago that was shanked. It probably ended up being under a 20-yard punt that gave USC the ball probably at the 40 or whatever, when the Aggies were backed up pretty good. That was a huge turning point of the game. And so they can't afford to have something like that happen. If they're going to fake a punt or field goal or something like that, they've got to cash in on that and not mess it up. So that'll be huge. There's a couple guys that are pretty dynamic, returners. Andrew Rodriguez, he isn't always the guy back there. They kind of rotate through guys, and Jalen Davis, who's the starting cornerback, they don't want to wear him out. So they usually go with Andrew Rodriguez, who's a wide receiver, on the punt returns. And, I don't expect to have too many big plays. The Aggies used to have JoJo Natson that every time he touched the ball, you're expecting something exciting to happen. It's not quite that way this year, but they have the potential to put somebody else back there in Jalen or Rashad Lewis or somebody that maybe could make a big play. So. They need something to happen good for them in the special teams category to win the game, in my opinion. It'll be interesting to see where that comes from, or if it doesn't, obviously, we'll see.
I mean, it's a third of the game. It could be such a huge factor. And that game was so close a few years ago, like you said. Mm-hmm. One really bad special teams play, and things can just kind of get out of hand. I mean, you fight tooth and nail to get first downs or to get a big defensive stop on third and short or something, and some weird, wacky play, bad play, mental mistake on special teams, and it's 6 points the other way. In a close game, I mean, you know, like when USC played Alabama, it didn't matter as much. They were already down by three scores or whatever. But in a game that, you know, a lot of people think will be close, that could be a huge play.
Yeah. I mean, a couple of years ago, 17-14, you ask any Aggie fan about that game, about the last time they went to the Coliseum, they're going to say, yeah, that darn punt and that darn penalty. And that, you know, there's three plays, and they're not all special teams, but obviously, you know, one of the three is a major special teams, you know, problem. And really, I think that they even missed a field goal. So yeah, two out of the three, are, you know, special teams. So, if we want to look a couple of years ago, that absolutely will show us how much special teams is going to play a part in this game. So.
Well, when I do shows, people are like, well, what's your prediction? I'm not really good at those. It's not really like what I'm into. I don't know if you have one or if you want to share it or just what you kind of think, how you think this game is going to kind of play out.
Yeah, I don't like score predictions either. I mean, I think, because I'm kind of expecting, you know, a pretty low scoring game, all things considered. So that's why it's going to be so important. Like we already mentioned that, you know, the start of the game, those special teams plays and maybe that turnover battle, I'm always going to point to, the turnover battle and some big plays. Cause those are the obvious answers as far as what's going to make the difference in the game. You know, there's a reason why Utah State is a 16 point underdog. They're going to have to make that up somehow, whether it's, you know, getting those turnovers or special teams of some sort, or some trick play or, you know, a big play. So I don't know what to expect. I mean, I'm almost, you know, like I said, I feel like I'm, you know, flip-flopping, going back and forth. And one second I'm expecting really good things, and then the next second I'm not sure what's going to happen. So, I might sound flaky or wishy-washy, but I really don't know what to expect. I think, you know, it definitely could be I'm expecting USC to make more of those big plays than Utah State, because I haven't seen it from the wide receivers. I guess that's the easy answer, and I think absolutely USC should win by a couple touchdowns if they play well. But as we know, anything can happen, so.
Yeah, I think I'm on the same page. I kind of think USC will win, but I kind of feel it's going to be closer. You know, the 16.5 just seems like a lot to me, considering USC hasn't scored a touchdown yet this year. They were in the red zone for one play against Alabama. Now, Alabama's defense is, you know, freakazoids and all NFL players and stuff, but still, I think there's some issues with this USC offense where it's just not. There's some throwaway plays. There's some negative plays that they're self-inflicted wounds. And I think you have a well-coached team like Utah State. You're going to be able to take advantage of some of that. So when you said early on, I think it'll be a low-scoring game. I kind of tend to agree with you. So, I'll probably pick USC in this one, but I think it'll be closer than the spread. So, you know, Utah State plus 16.5, I would be on that side of it if you have to take one. We'll see. USC's got a lot of 4- and 5-star guys. They're certainly capable of coming out and just blitzkrieging somebody. I don't know. I don't see that happening. But we'll see. That's why we love college football, Isaac. It's just, we gotta wait and see what happens.
Yeah. I don't expect, I mean, I could absolutely be wrong, but I don't see that big, you know, breakout, offense potential as much as I see the defense maybe, you know, making into a defensive battle on both sides. So, but, you know, like you say, I mean, they could make some, you know, get some big plays and really, really break it open. So that'll be fun to watch. I think Everybody listening to this podcast, I'm sure we'll watch and see.
Yeah.
So
watch it on the Pac-12 network, which I can now get.
That's right. Sling it. Or watch it on your Pac-12 network, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. They add that to Sling. I'm like one step closer to just cutting the cord, you know? Like, I can get most of my sports for $20 a month instead of like $200. Yeah, maybe I'll do that, you know?
Yeah, and that's what I've done. And that's absolutely the way I think will be the way of the future. It was fun to watch the Weber Utah State game on Twitter. It was the first game ever on Twitter, and I thought, man, this is kind of cool because, you know, our ADD society, everyone wants to tweet and watch the game and do this and that and kind of do everything at the same time. Well, why not just watch it right on Twitter and tweet during the game? So it was pretty fun.
I totally wanted to see that. And was that one on a Sunday or was that the?
It was the Thursday game.
The Thursday, yeah. So I was flying. So I had a flight that day. So I didn't, I got it like towards the end and I was like, oh, this one's on Twitter. And by the time I pulled it up, the game was over, but they didn't have a replay there right away. It was only live. So they didn't provide like a replay for it. Is that how your understanding?
Yeah. So really the only difference, when they do it on Twitter is it's kind of like putting a YouTube message on Twitter or whatever. It's still the same broadcast. It's still through Campus Insiders or Mountain West Network or whatever. You access it the same, or it's the same broadcast, but it's just streamed right in Twitter. And Twitter even makes a kind of a homepage or a landing page that on the right side, you know, you're getting the hashtags on the right side and your feed and everything. And on the left side, you can watch the stream of the game. So it was cool.
I wish they would have provided, there must be some contractual thing. They couldn't make a replay of it so you could not watch it live or whatever, but that would have been, I wanted to watch it because obviously that was USC's next, opponent, but the replay wasn't on there. I'm sure it was online somewhere. They probably have it on the Mountain.
Yeah,
West.
You can usually find those replays somewhere, but either you have to download it on your computer, you know, as an MP4 or whatever. I've had to do that a few times, or try to find it on YouTube or different things like that. But yeah, that would have been kind of cool too to be able to replay it. But it wasn't. It's not all Twitter. Twitter really doesn't have anything to do with it other than just giving giving the spot to interact with it and to watch it. So.
Well, Isaac, we really appreciate you coming on and giving the USC fans a preview of what to expect Saturday morning in the Coliseum.
Yeah,
I guess it's
bright and early.
Yeah, it's a noon mountain start, right? But it's
noon our time, so it won't be too weird for us to start watching it at noon. But 11 o'clock California time should be fun.
Yeah, the Coliseum's changed because of the Rams. So they've taken away some of the tailgating areas because they have to extend the fence. There's like NFL rules as far as how close you can line up to the stadium and stuff for security. So some people lost their tailgating areas that were right around the Coliseum. It was like these grassy areas you could just tailgate in. Now they're fenced in. They got the clear bag policy now. There's new rules for tailgating on campus and stricter rules. And the game's at 11 a.m. So it's just... It's not going to be a great after getting crushed by Alabama. So I don't think it's going to be the greatest thing. They are giving away Marcus Allen bobblehead dolls to the first 50,000 fans. So there's something, but I'm,
that's right. Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah. I'm curious to see what kind of crowd ends up showing up in this one. It's a home opener. So you expect people to come out, but there's a lot of people have a bad taste in their mouth from the last game.
Yeah. A lot of breakfast tailgating, I guess. So
breakfast burritos or some breakfast pizzas. Our buddies that would tailgate, that was kind of fun. Some good stuff, but you're going to be there early. People are going to be there on campus early. So 11 a.m. Pac-12 networks, the Utah State Aggies and the USC Trojans. Thanks again, Isaac, for coming on.
Yep.
All right. That's Isaac. Go to ustateaggies.com. Check it out if you want to know all about the Aggies, USC's next opponent on Saturday. Hope you guys enjoyed our fifth podcast of the week. I don't know if I'm going to do another one tomorrow, but heck, we might as well try to do one every day of the week. This is Ryan Abraham, publisher of uscfootball.com. You've been listening to the Peristyle Podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in.
You've been listening to the Peristyle Podcast, presented by uscfootball.com. Be sure to tune in next week for the latest news on Trojan football and recruiting. And don't forget, you can automatically download the podcast directly to your smartphone or tablet for free. Just click the iTunes link on peristylepodcast.com or search for Peristyle Podcast at the iTunes Music Store.